Take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 12. I got to laughing. Brother Josh was praying, talking about a rut. Brother Roloff used to say, you know what a rut is? It's a grave with both ends kicked out. Well, that's just kind of what I thought of as he was praying there. Acts chapter 12. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to hit the whole chapter. I believe we're going to get done just a few minutes early tonight. If you listen real well, I know we will. If you act dead and all tired and wore out, I might just pull out another sermon and preach two of them at you tonight. But Acts chapter 12, yeah, you say that now. Acts chapter 12, your wife's in the nursery, you can say that. Acts chapter 12, verse number 1. Now, about that time, by the way, she didn't say amen to that one, and I'm not answering to it. Now, about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quartorians of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. By the way, it's the only time in Scripture you'll see the word Easter mentioned. It's in reference to the entire Passover festival. It was a longer period of time. It was several days long. That's what the word Easter is in reference to. Verse number 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. The angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were, and I'm going to stop right there for right now. Herod has been an evil, wicked, power-hungry king since he took the throne as king. Acts chapter 12 is approximately 10 years after Calvary. You got to realize you're talking 10 years after after Calvary, the crucifixion, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the reascension of Jesus into heaven. Herod's been on the throne about 40 years now. He's been evil and nasty a long time. He's just killed the apostle James. He's taken a sword and killed him. He saw how that the religious Jews were happy about the fact that this Christian was dead. So he said, "Well, since I killed James, he's one of the top three, Peter, James, and John. I might as well go for the top guy, and I'm going to get more votes." And he finds Peter and throws him into prison. He can't kill him during the Passover season, the time of unleavened bread, Easter, whatever you would like to call it. He said, "But I'll wait till it's over. And when it's over, I'll kill him. And then I'm going to be a real popular king." He's going to find out how popular he is. Herod gets a lot of popular press, but he throws Peter in prison. And he has this trial set, and when he's getting ready to set this trial, Peter's not there. We read the beginning of it. God actually helps Peter get out of jail. Peter thinks he's having a dream. He's got soldiers all around. He's got chains. He's chained up to two soldiers. And in the middle of the night, an angel comes to him and pokes him and says, "Hey, Peter, wake up." Say, why was he sleeping? That's what any good Baptist preacher would do. He'd eat and go to bed. Amen. They say, why? God will take care of it. If not, I'm going to wake up in heaven. What's the difference? And he fell asleep. The angel came, poked him, and he said, "Look, those." He said, "But I'm chained," and the chains fell off. He said, "All right, I'll stand up." They said, look, get your clothes, get your shoes on, get dressed, let's go. And they walk out through the prison. God keeps everybody asleep, and the angel leads Peter out. We read in verse number 5 that the church was praying for him to get out of jail. This is one of the funniest stories in the Bible to me. It really is. Later in the chapter, you'll see the church is there having a prayer meeting for Peter to get out of prison. Oh, God, save Peter. Oh, God, help him. Oh, God, get him out. And there's a knock at the door. Everybody's praying. Some teenage girl named Rhoda goes to the door, opens it up. She sees Peter. She slams the door in his face and goes back and says, Brother Peter's back there at the door. They said, shut up. We're praying for him to get out of prison. And it takes her a while, and Peter banging at the door. Let me in. He's an escaped convict, man. Let me back in church. Amen. Now, wait a minute. God spares Peter's life and answers the prayer of the church folks. And then God finally deals with King Herod one final last time. This is one of the most amazing chapters to me in the book of Acts. And one of the most, I hate using the word enjoyable, but there's some enjoyable parts to this. Let me just jump right into it. Number one, Herod's evil history. You have to understand, this is the Herod that tried to kill Jesus at birth.
Yes, sir.
Go back to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. These are not unfamiliar things to you, but maybe you'll see the Bible come together in a way that will finally make sense to you. I'm going to read a fairly lengthy portion here, but just watch it. Look at Matthew chapter 2, verse number 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Notice the words there, king of the Jews. Why did Herod want to kill Jesus? Because he felt like his throne was being threatened. For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king... By the way, small k, not capital K, like you see in verse number 2. He was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, religious people, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art thou not the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor, capital G, in reference to Jesus, that shall rule over my people. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring him word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over the young, where the young child was. Notice the term young child, not baby. Hang on. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. When they were departed, the angel of the Lord appeareth unto Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken out of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, by the way, this is a different Herod, but this is his son that's on the throne now. But I want you to notice something. Look at me. If you look at verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from how old? 2 years old and under. In other words, up to the age of 3. Why did he kill children that were that old? That's how old Jesus could have been. When you see a picture of the manger scene and that there are wise men there at the manger scene, it's not true. They did not come till years later. They were not there at the birth of Christ. When the birth of Christ came, they saw the star, but they did not leave, and it took them 2 years or more to get there. He wanted to make sure he killed that Jesus, so he had all the children killed, 2 years old, the boys 2 years old and under. Now, this is the same Herod that would kill John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 14, verses 1 through 12, Luke chapter 3, 16 through 21. This is the Herod that was sleeping with his brother's wife, and John the Baptist made it public in one of his sermons. Y'all think I get people mad. John the Baptist, man, he didn't give a flip. Now, I made a few people mad Sunday morning. Apparently, I hit Catholics and didn't know I hit the Catholics. If they thought I hit the Catholics Sunday morning, they ought to come back on another one. And I preached a few other things, made a couple others squirm a little bit, but that's all right. They need to hear the truth. Don't get mad at me. The one that squawks is the one that you hit, amen. Throw a rock at a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one you got. Now, this is the same Herod that killed John the Baptist. Look at Luke chapter 3 real quick. Luke chapter 3. I know I just spoiled somebody's Christmas this year by the wise men not being there, but that's all right. John chapter 3, look at verse number 16. John answering said unto them, all I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and will he will thoroughly purge his floor, will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff will he burn with fire unquenchable, and many other things. In his exhortation he preached unto the people. You got to realize something here, and I think I got to keep going. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying to heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended bodily. By the way, this Herod is the one that killed Jesus and brought his head on a charger. John the Baptist, I'm sorry. I knew what I was thinking, but it came out my mouth the wrong way. Now, can I tell you something? Herod has a history of being evil. So him killing James is not something unusual. Here in Acts chapter 12, he kills James. James is one of the sons of Zebedee. It's actually the brother to the apostle John. Go to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. I love this story here, but I won't take time to read a lot of it. Mark chapter 3, look at verse number 14. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. And Simon, he surnamed Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, he surnamed them Boanerges. You say, how do you say that? You can twist it however you want. That which is the sons of thunder. You have to understand, Peter, James, and John, these were pretty rugged individuals. If you were known as the sons of thunder, y'all know what I'm talking about? Go back to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Verse number 18, Matthew chapter 4, verse number 18, the very famous story here. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. James is the older brother to John. This is, you have two sets of brothers that were apostles, Peter and Andrew, James and John. And you have to understand something. James was the older brother to the apostle John. Now, all that to say this, Herod has had over a 40-year history of killing great leaders for Christ and actually for killing Christ. Herod was the one present at the death and execution of Jesus. He's the one that passed it up to Pilate. He wanted to wash his hands from it and pushed it on and said, no, send it on to Pilate. I've got enough history of killing these people. I don't need this one. I might not win the next election. But look at Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, look at verse number 1. The whole multitude of them arose and led them unto Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation, forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying unto himself, Christ is a what? King. And Pilate asked, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered, and he said, thou sayest. And let's skip down to verse number 6. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were Galilean, and as soon as he knew that belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at the time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he'd hoped to have him seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. Huh. Isn't it amazing? This is the same one. Herod's got a long history of being pretty evil and vile. He influenced the Jews to crucify Christ. And now here in Acts chapter 12, we see in verse number 1 and 2 that Herod stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he slew James with a sword. Can I tell you something? Evil politicians have been around a long time. It's nothing new. It doesn't mean every politician's bad. Just like every lawyer's not bad. Most of them. Not every lawyer is, not every doctor is a bad person. Just like not every preacher is a bad preacher. Just because there are some does not mean they are all that way. This Herod was an evil man. Don't forget that. It comes into play later here. Second, about this chapter, you have Peter's escape by God's hand. Peter is thrown into prison. Herod's trying to garner votes. And he says, look, it went over so well that I killed James. Maybe I can get Peter. I've already gotten rid of Jesus, gotten rid of James. I'm becoming more and more popular. Maybe I could get rid of this Peter fella. And he captures him and throws him in prison. But he can't do anything with him during the Passover season. There's a time there that where, because of the Hebrew and the Jewish traditions, they could not do anything with him because of the time of unleavened bread. But as soon as it was over, he was going to garner some more votes and kill Peter. God had other plans. God sends an angel to touch Peter, as I said before. And if you read from where we left off in verse number 9 all the way through, about verse number 17, we're not going to take time to read it, but I got a little bit of time. Let's read it here. You'll enjoy it. It's kind of fun. Let's start in verse number 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison and smote Peter on the side. You say, why? He was snoring. That's in the Greek, by the way. Raised him up, saying, he's a man too, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. The angel said unto him, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. And so he did. He saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, that he thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. First automatic garage door opener. Amen. And went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, in other words, he realized he wasn't dreaming. He said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad, you're crazy. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. He departed and went into another place. By the way, there were two Jameses that were apostles. One was the brother of John. The other was the brother of Jesus, the half-brother. They had different daddies, same mama. That James was Jesus' half-brother, just so you know. Now, can you imagine Peter getting out of jail, standing in the middle of the street, and all of a sudden realizing this isn't a dream? Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think I'd be just walking down the middle of the road at that point in time. I'd be hiding a little bit, just in case, amen? The church gathered to pray for Peter to be let free. They weren't happy that he was in jail. Peter thinks he's had a dream, but he walks out of prison. The people of the church didn't believe that God had answered their prayer like he answered it. Can I tell you something? When God answers your prayers, don't be shocked. Be thankful, but don't be shocked. I wish you knew how many texts I got on Sunday afternoon from preachers that said, we knew you'd do it. We knew your church would do it. I'm thinking, yeah, you do knew it now, but man, I've been scared snotless for about 6 weeks now. The people of the church didn't believe that God answered their prayer as they asked. Do you remember how we felt when we finally got a piece of ground and then finally got a loan, finally started construction, and 3 years later finally got in? I remember we had to be in here on the first Sunday of May because I didn't want to pay another month's rent in that wonderful, luxurious building we were at in Aiken Center. And I didn't feel like paying an extra $2,000 rent when this building we were going to be in, and we got out of that building, we moved everything we had to get set up right in the middle of this auditorium before we had an occupancy permit. On the Wednesday before, I remember when the building inspector came in on that Friday, and he said, looks like you already moved. I said, had to. He said, what do you mean? I said, I'm having church here Sunday. He said, well, I haven't passed you yet. I said, you're going to. And my builder grabbed a hold of him. He said, come on, brother. He said, they didn't want to pay another $2,000 rent. He said, that's not my problem. He said, it's about to be. He said, you know the designs of this building. You've watched it go up. He said, just walk through. I had my desk in my office. He said, looks like you've already been in here. I said, I am right now waiting for you to get done so I can get some work done. And we didn't even have stalls up in the bathrooms. No lie. Cross my heart. Hope Brother Steve dies. We were having a ladies' meeting on Saturday the next day. The first event we were having was a ladies' meeting. We were trying to figure out how to put PVC pipes up and put canvas tarps up so that everybody had stalls in the bathrooms. Finally, they came out, and Saturday morning, 30 minutes before the ladies' meeting started, the truck finally left with the stalls being done. And they weren't totally done, but done enough. Boy, we had church. Remember how excited we were? God had answered our prayer, and the storms came. Oh, my soul, we got 2 inches of rain in about an hour and a half. They had sprayed that green grass seed stuff on. We had a green river going from here down the hill into the drainage pond. Oh, it was horrible, but we were happy. It was great. God can do anything, but he doesn't have to do what we ask. Can I tell you something? Just because you ask, God's not bound to do it. Make sure when you pray, you don't demand God do something. I prayed for our big day. I kept saying, God, I believe we can. Show our church we can do this. Show our community we can do this. Show the people that need to come that we can do this. And Lord, this is for you. It's not for us. I can think of a whole lot better things I'd rather be doing than that. But God can do whatever we want, but God does not have to do what we ask him to do. Don't get disillusioned if God doesn't answer exactly the way you ask. I don't know that the people were asking that Peter escape prison. They just wanted him out. I don't think it happened exactly the way they thought, but he got out. But can I tell you something? When you live by faith, it's fun watching what God can do. Amen. Then lastly, and this is kind of fun, kind of you men are going to like this. It's a bit gross. Look at Acts chapter 12. Skip down to verse number 20. God brings justice to King Herod. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a what? And not of a man. Now, look at me. Herod set it up for this. I don't know that he could have necessarily orchestrated it, but that's what he'd been shooting for all along. He wanted to be a god to the people. Look at verse number 23. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Now, while he's sitting on the throne, God allows these worms to start eating him up alive, and he dies while he's sitting there in all of his phylacteries as the voice of God. Now, can you imagine the maggot fest happening? Yeah, buddy, right in front of the whole world that was praising him as being a god. Herod gets decked up in all of his robes and everything else. I mean, he looked worse than a deer carcass after a week in the 90-degree sun. All the worms eating him up, coming through his nose and his ears and his eyeballs and eating him from the inside out. By the way, he was alive. It wasn't until they ate the parts that caused him to die that he died. This all happened in public. I did some reading again just last week. This has happened several times in world history. It's not a totally unusual thing. It's a very rare thing, but it's happened on more than one occasion. And God caused Herod to be humbled, and God took care of it. I say this often, God doesn't always pay on Fridays, but God always has his payday. You may think you're getting away with it for now, but people like the Pelosi's and the Schumer's and the Bernie Sanders's and others that I won't mention, they're going to have their day. These wealthy people, the Jeff Bezos and the George Soros's and the Bill Gates's and others, the heirs, the Koch brothers and others. Can I tell you, I'm not saying every one of them is lost and on their way to hell, but if they're being used for evil by the Antichrist himself, which many are. By the way, money is not evil. The love of money is. The love of the power of money is. God may let them have their way for now, but eternity's long. Why do good people have bad things happen and evil people don't? Well, good people, if they're saved, are going to heaven. These bad people need a chance to get saved. You have to realize the best they have is what's here on earth. This is the worst we have to put up with.
Yes, sir.
Let's face it. Every time somebody goes to heaven, I think, man, they're the lucky ones. They're doing all right. We got to take care of the mess back here. You see, the people began to call Herod a god. They said he's speaking like the voice of a god, not of a man. Kind of like they did with Hitler. Hitler became a god to the German people. Not by choice, by force. Anybody who has to lead by force, be careful. When people start have to enforcing rules on you for you to follow, be careful. Rules are important. But they should not be, well, you have to turn somebody in. Brother Bossy and I were talking on Monday this week. And we were talking about future expansion and different things. And I was picking his brain on a couple things. And he said, Brother Bush, he said, I love your plans, but honestly, I don't think you're going to live long enough to have to live all of those because I think the Lord's coming back. I said, yes, sir, I believe that too. But in case not, I got to have them. He said, I love it. He said, I'm for it. He said, I always wondered how this might work. I said, well, I always wondered how they could explain away a rapture. I said, but I've got it figured out since COVID. I said, I wondered how the Antichrist could set up a one world system and a mark that everybody had to take, but I got it figured out, Doc. He said, I'm interested. He said, I'm fishing. What is it? I said, the word quarantine. I said, there will be another pandemic and it'll be a worldwide quarantine. And they're going to say this many millions of people were killed. Those are the ones that left in the rapture. I said, and then they're going to say, because we had so much trouble getting everybody vaccinated. Bill Gates said on this one, he wanted to put a tracker on it so that we knew who was vaccinated and who wasn't. But he said, oh, this isn't the mark of the beast. That's exactly what he said. Well, guess what? They're going to say, since we had so much trouble and not everybody got vaccinated and they didn't get vaccinated fast enough, this is what we're going to do. You're going to get vaccinated and it's going to leave a mark. You can get it one of two places. And if you don't have that, you're not going to be able to buy food. You're not going to be able to shop. You're not going to be able to do anything without that mark because we're going to prove that you have medically proven safety. Hello. Say, preacher, do you know that's true? No, but can you see how people will believe it? That's why I said almost 3 years ago, I believe COVID is a precursor to Antichrist. I said then, I don't believe it's the time, but I believe this is a trial run. Boy, did we see how the world can swallow a lie real fast. Believe strong delusion. Boy, are they delusional. They think a paper mask is going to save them. And if you don't have yours, you're going to kill them. Now, if theirs works, why are they worried about mine? An angel came and caused the worms to eat up Herod in front of all these people. Can I tell you something? God's going to get the final word. These people think they have a lot of power, but folks, I read the last chapter. I know who wins. I know who's going to win. I know how it's going to happen. And it's going to be better than watching the worms eat Herod. We're going to be sitting on white horses watching Jesus cut their throats and the blood go to the bridle of the horse in the valley of Megiddo. And we're going to come back and rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. And it's going to be fun. And then we're going to watch him throw the old stinking devil in hell for all eternity. And I can't wait for that. I want a front row seat on that one. Matter of fact, I kind of want to kick him and spit at him a little bit on the way down. Amen. Kind of like standing off a cliff and see how long it takes to hit the bottom. I'm going to spit on him all the way. I may not spit on him because he might have a little comfort on the way down. But give him a good swift kick on the way or something. Can I tell you something? God's going to take care of it. You say, what about all these vile, evil people? Don't worry about it. Let God take care of it. Let God take care of it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Sometimes we ask too much of God because we demand it of him. Instead of demanding, how about we just talk to him? Maybe we ought not worry about so much the trouble we're in, but walking with the God who can help deliver us from the trouble.